our minds be open this morning. Amen. So it's the third week of the month, so it must be another holy habit. You're not wrong. It's seeking guidance this week, this month, the holy habit of seeking guidance. Where do we go for guidance? Well, the Alpha people went onto the streets to find out, and they asked a few people that question, and this is what they found.
Go to for guidance.
I've got a good boss who I can get career advice from.
When I need guidance, I go to somebody I love and trust.
Because I don't know all the answers, so yeah, it's always good to go somewhere else.
I don't think I have anybody like right now that I get guidance from.
You have to look for it within yourself, because if you're looking for it in other people, you will never learn on your own.
I seek counsel with my friends.
If it's something that I really want to do, then if there is more cons than pros, I'll still do it anyway.
Somebody who knows more than me.
Particularly my dad when it comes to girls.
Probably my dad, but I don't always take everything he says too literal.
I always go to my friend whenever I need guidance or help or anything, because he's really smart and most importantly, he doesn't judge.
A friend who doesn't judge, that's quite a good bit of advice, that last one, at the end. A number of people said their father, or their mother, I think, in those clips, a parent. And if you are a parent, you've probably had those moments. You might have had them as a godparent, as a babysitter even as well. But if you're a parent, you might have had those moments where you've stayed in the room while your children go off to sleep. Sometimes you have to, don't you? And when they finally drift off, they look so peaceful, so quiet, so beautiful. And your heart pours out a love for them. So powerful, so protective, so overwhelmingly thankful. And in our psalm, we hear that God watches over us. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking that when we sleep, if God is our parent, he is probably doing that with us too. He may be saying something like, "I love you like you love your child. While you lay sleeping, no one can see you, but I watch you, and my heart is full of love for you." It seems to me that God must want to speak of his love to us personally, like we do with our children, because he's a parent. And if we listen, we too can hear God's voice. There are plenty of stories in the Bible, aren't there, where God speaks pretty clearly and directly into people's lives. And Jesus himself says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And furthermore, I know plenty of people, many of them in this church today, who would say that God has spoken to them in various ways. It might be through a voice, might be through the Bible, might be through circumstances, might be through other people, maybe through feelings. And I too can say exactly the same. I've had moments in my life when I felt God guiding me. One very positive moment for me, hopefully a little bit for you as well, was when I came here. I was looking at, the bishop nudged me and said, "Go and get a proper vicar job." So I thought I'd better obey. And so I started looking in the Church Times for all the jobs. And there were two that stood out, but one really made my heart leap, and that was this one. And in fact, the other one that stood out, I went for the interview and was accepted, and I turned it down. And apparently you're not supposed to do that, I now understand. But I turned it down because I was so desperate to be accepted for this role. And when I heard, I can remember I was in Costa with Debbie, actually, in Bracknell, and we got the call from the bishop, and he said, "Oh, you're the preferred candidate." I couldn't believe it, so... You must be mad, all of you, anyway. But that was a moment for me where I felt God was guiding me. I felt very strongly that Ely was the right place and that Wellington in Somerset, although it was nearer where I was born, was the wrong place for me to go. I felt that very strongly. And sometimes you can't quite put your finger on why that is, but I was praying about it, as you'll be glad to know. Now, we might intuitively be suspicious of people who speak easily of being guided. But if we want to have a relationship with God that's in any sense personal, surely it's essential for us to be open to the possibility that sometimes God might speak directly to us. That when we seek guidance from God, for example, we might receive what we might call leadings or promptings from the Holy Spirit himself. George Fox, who was the founder of the Quakers, said God would speak directly to him, not audibly, but clearly nonetheless, opening a truth to him. John Calvin, the reformer, spoke of the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. And St. Ignatius talked of movements of the soul, thoughts, feelings, or desires that were a gift from God. And these promptings may do all sorts of things. They may convict us of something in our life which is terribly wrong. They may assure us of God's love for us. They may call us to action. So it's good to learn to listen for God's still small voice. There was a poll conducted by ICM for the Church of England just before Easter, and it found that 6 people out of 7 in this country believe that prayers can be answered, and that teenagers and people in their early 20s emerged as the most likely to pray, which was quite encouraging. Most people talk to God, it seems, in this country. But the poll also found that we're less confident about the idea of God talking to us. Only 15% spoke of praying for guidance. There's a play called The Search for Signs, which you might have seen, where Lily Tomlin's character says, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying? But when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic?" It's a good question, isn't it? Why should God's end of the line only be equipped with a receiver and not a mouthpiece? If we really want to be transformed as Christians, surely being open and receptive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit is something we should seek, we should be sought after. So over my Christian life, I've come to believe that the Holy Spirit offers to guide ordinary people like you and me, and he will do if we desire it and if we listen. Now, you might think this isn't for you, but you can be encouraged by a little story in the book of Numbers where God even guided Balaam's donkey to stop Balaam being seduced by the king. God does indeed try to communicate with each of us. Maybe you've not experienced this yet, maybe not been open to it yet, or maybe your adventure can begin today. In George Bernard Shaw's play, Joan of Arc is asked about guidance by a frustrated follower. And she explains, the voice speaks to you all the time. You just fail to listen. Is it possible that we've got our aerials switched off? You might call it, John Ortberg calls it, spiritual mindlessness. I imagine if you're anything like me, that's a frequent condition for you. But it's a state that might render us spiritually impotent if we don't do something about it. For example, sometimes when you've had a problem, you may not have thought to pray about it for a while. You spend time worrying, getting angry even, but you forget to pray. You're exhibiting spiritual mindlessness. Now, the ironic thing is that when I was preparing this talk, I did it on the journey to Bristol and back to see my mum. And I have 7 hours, and most of it I spent preparing this talk. And because there's Wi-Fi on the train, I naturally assumed it was all popping off into the cloud and would be there when I got home. Well, the following evening, I opened it up just to put a few sort of finishing touches to it. And could I find it? It seemed that the cloud on Great Northern trains had dunked out. I was slightly frustrated about this. 7 hours' work. The air was beginning to turn a slightly different colour. I was a bit depressed. Debbie took the fat end of this, I'm afraid, as we had our dinner that night. And eventually, after dinner, I went back and started to redo the sermon. And I spent an hour on it, and I got to exactly this point in the sermon. And I thought, you idiot. I've just done exactly what I was pointing out spiritual mindlessness is. I hadn't prayed even about it. So I did. I prayed immediately about it. And do you know what? I was reminded by a still small voice within that I'd emailed it to myself before I left the train. I can recommend this guidance, Lark. If you suffer from spiritual mindlessness, like me, don't worry, you're not alone. Even Jacob suffered from this. "Surely the Lord is in this place," he said, "and I was not aware of it." Up to the night of Jacob's dream, where he wrestled with God, he'd never even listened to God properly. But in the dream, God promised himself to be present with Jacob, to guide him and protect him. Jacob was awestruck. "How awesome is this place? This is the gate of heaven." Jacob was staggered by his previous spiritual mindlessness and decided to change things forever. So he took the stone, which he'd used as a pillow, which doesn't sound awfully comfortable, does it? But he'd used it as a pillow while he was having this dream. And he set it up as a pillar. The pillow became a pillar. And he stood it up to remind him every time he went by how close God was and how much Jacob needed to listen to him. So if this morning you're in that boat with Jacob and me, and you want to grow more sensitive to God's promptings and leadings, maybe a simple physical reminder will help, like Jacob's pillar. Maybe a post-it note on our dashboard of the car. Maybe an alarm on the smartphone. Maybe a decision every time we go and make a cup of tea or coffee, just as the kettle's boiling, we ask God for guidance then. Maybe an object on our desk or our coffee table will remind us to pray. This very moment, that will remind us, can be the gateway to heaven, in Jacob's words. But what are we looking for? We humans tend to use words to communicate, don't we, one way or another. We have spoken words, we use texts, we have signing, and probably a little body language to go with it, to colour it in. But God seems to have a much wider palette to work with. God can directly guide our thoughts, even without the aid of sounds or images. C.S. Lewis suggests that God may be speaking to us. He may be affecting our consciousness while we remain ignorant of the fact. It's quite possible to be guided by God without even knowing that it's him. This happened to Samuel in the story in the Bible when he was a boy. God spoke to him directly one night, but Samuel did not realize that God was speaking, and he needed the help of Eli, the priest, to learn to recognize the voice of God. So we need to learn to be open to God's many methods of speaking to us. It might be words, might be the Bible, might be our friends, might be our thoughts, might be circumstances, or it might even be, as some of my friends have done, they call it throwing down a fleece. They say, "If this happens, I will take this decision," and then leave it to God. A bit risky, but I've seen people do it. And what sort of things does God guide us about? Is it the big things like who I should marry, which house I should live in, what job I should accept? Or maybe if we restrict our listening just to these things, maybe it seems to God like we don't really want guidance at all. We just want insider information. Like the guy who coughed for his friend Major Charles Ingram on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That sort of guidance. Just guidance to bring us money, happiness, success, knowing something ahead of time. Maybe the test of our spiritual mindfulness is how often we seek God's guidance when we're not facing trouble and we're not facing a big decision. What if we sought guidance from God about our character rather than just risk avoidance? After all, God created us in his image. Maybe guidance is partly about how we mature in our faith. As Shane Claiborne put it, how we become more like God in his image. Going back to our parenting picture at the start, if we want to raise our children to become healthy, mature, responsible, decisive adults, it can only happen if, as they're growing up, we're not making all the decisions for them. We're not instructing them what to do all the time, tempting though it is. It just won't happen that way. God's purpose in guidance is partly to encourage us to perform the right actions, yes, but it's also to become the right kind of people. God wants us to be people, not robots, to develop virtues and qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, becoming equipped to make good decisions. So that when we face those important decisions, yes, we do pray and seek guidance, but out of our Christian character, we become ready to exercise judgment, wisdom, initiative, choice, responsibility in his name. So maybe seeking guidance is listening to God for the growth of our soul, asking questions like, how do I become a more truthful person? Who can teach me to pray in a way that will nourish my soul? What practices will enable me to live a thankful life? What book or podcast should I read this month to develop my spiritual authenticity? So how do we discipline ourselves to become spiritually mindful, to be continually tuned to the Spirit as a holy habit? Well, in the sheet, which everybody will get at the end, there's some words from Thomas Kelly. And he says, there's a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we're going about our lives, thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating. But deep within, at a profounder level, we can at the same time be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, with a gentle receptiveness to the divine breathings. He's saying we can learn to be like this, so that if we have a significant decision to make tomorrow, we can stop and ask for wisdom. If we have some downtime unexpectedly, we can pause and ask God, "Do you have anything for me to do?" Each time we greet someone during the week, we can inwardly ask the Spirit, how can I represent you to this person? And each time someone annoys us, however slightly, we can ask God, how can I pray for this person right now? This year, 2018, I started the year trying to add more spiritual value to every conversation I have with anybody. And I've written it on my whiteboard, so that's my pillar for this particular thing. I want to add spiritual value to every conversation. So often this simply means remembering to pray just before we part company. But it also means trying to be open to that gentle receptiveness to divine breathings, a word from God maybe for this person. Maybe God is trying to help me encourage someone, to invite somebody to a certain choice, to listen harder. Whatever it is. This kind of listening has been vital to followers of Christ right from the start. So can I invite you to try and experiment this week? As you are interacting with people, try to listen for the prompting of the Spirit. As you listen to people, listen also for what the Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit will then help you approach each person more as Jesus would approach them if he were in your place. But of course, this only makes sense if we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Many of our contemporaries still seek help from psychic hotlines and horoscopes. But let's face it, how often will Russell tell his readers that they need to repent of that racist attitude? Or they need to repent of their apathy towards those who live in poverty? How often will Russell say, God desires us to live with a servant heart, pouring ourselves out for friends and enemies alike. Or that God wants us to spend our lives alongside the lonely and the wounded. It's only from the kingdom of God, when we're seeking the kingdom of God, that we get good guidance for our lives. If you're using those other things, I'd encourage you to get rid of them 5 minutes ago. Frank Laubach, who was a minister to what he called the uneducated, really worked on this in his life, and he struggled. He said, I'd never lived. I was half dead. I was a rotting tree. Recognize spiritual mindlessness again in him, can't we? And he battled with his thoughts, trying to reach a place where he was constantly seeking God's will, until finally he said, one moment there was a breakthrough, and it was as though some deep artesian well had been struck in my soul. Money, praise, poverty, opposition, these made no difference and will be forgotten in 1,000 years. But this spirit, which comes to a mind which is set on continuous surrender to God, this spirit is timeless life, he said. So let's be determined that as the best we can to be responsive to God's leadings. When we feel a prompting, let's follow it through. Jesus promised his followers that in times of persecution, they could trust that the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. It was in our reading this morning. But finally, just to say that God not only speaks to us, he speaks through us as well. Paul said we're to speak to each other in spirit-guided wisdom. So look out for God's guidance in the words of other people, but only people whose faith you respect and whose lives demonstrate that depth of faith. Take care, because it's quite possible that someone will say to you one day, I know this is true because God told me. Be cautious about those who are forthright in claiming this. God's direct guidance too casually often looks a bit ugly. We need humility and openness to testing what somebody has said God has for us. But in any event, as long as we continue to pray to the God who spoke creation into being, who communicated through prophets and kings, who inspired the Bible, and who also refers to his Son as God with us, then surely we can accept the possibility that sometimes he may want to get a word in edgeways. In faith, let's believe, mind stretching as it might sound, that God can and really does personally attend to us. Let's invite God to speak into our lives, into the lives of our church, to transform us as individuals, to transform us as families, and to transform us as a church. Let's open ourselves up to the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. Now, like each time we've been doing this on our third Sundays, there's a question for you to have a little bit of a think about, which hopefully we can get up on the screen. I wonder if you'd like to talk to each other and talk about a time when you feel you've changed your plan after something somebody said to you and how that worked out and whether you felt God was in that. So if you've changed your plan for anything because of something somebody has said to you, just maybe talk about that with your friends on your pews and make sure everybody gets included.